And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
That doesn't sound good.
Paper shredder's jammed, but I think I fixed it.
Oh, well, try shredding these $50 bills then.
Seems like it's working.
Better try another $400.
Stop. Instead of using money, use regular paper. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Now moment, all you positive heads out there. It's so good to be back with you as always. If you're new to this podcast, of course, we are super happy to have you here. And we just ask that you bring an open mind and an open heart to your listening experience and to be prepared to explore vantage points that I'm convinced will help shift or solidify your current understanding of the ultimate nature of reality. While listening, you will be exposed to inspiring, empowering, and unifying perspectives that I'm highly confident will yield stellar results in your life if you opt to try them on for size. Also, if you're a longtime P-Head listener, you know I have been diligently working on producing episodes for my new late-night style, consciousness-elevating video talk show, Optimistic. Well, after a year plus in the making, I am thrilled to announce that we will be releasing Season 1's episodes weekly beginning March 15th, and I'm asking for your help to spread the love and to let your friends and family know about Optimistic when it's released. In exchange for taking a minute to share our Episode 1 teaser video on March 15th, or whenever you're hearing this, up through the end of April, we're giving you monthly memberships to not one, but two consciousness-expansive online content portals from two of my very favorite teachers and healers that are valued at over $50 a month, as well as entering your name into a drawing to win a free week at the Mystic Manor for a retreat immersion valued at $2,950, where the winner will be chosen in April. Otherwise, if you're interested in hearing more details about the rewards you'll receive for supporting, we'll send you a video that goes into detail when you text the word Mystic to the number 22999. You can also go to optimistic.tv to see several other videos, including the Optimistic show trailer and two videos that discuss the week-long retreat immersion, as well as details of what the Mystic Manor immersion entails and how you can book a week to come stay with us, even if you don't win the raffle. All right, all you positive heads, on this week's Soul Share episode, I'm very excited to have the one and only James Redfield here with me on the show. And if you don't know, James is an author and filmmaker. And for me, having him on the show is particularly exciting and nostalgic because his book, The Celestine Prophecy, was the very first spiritual-centric book I ever read going back to the mid-90s. So super, super happy to have you here, James. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Yeah, definitely. This is great. This is bringing it all back around to the beginning for me, you know. Five years of doing this podcast and many conversations, but you know, your book was the one that really got me intrigued, and it's such a great, great story, and I highly recommend it to any of you guys out there if you haven't read it. So James, let's start at the beginning, where I always like to ask the same, opening question and closing question. I'm pretty predictable where that goes. And my opening question is this: you're in an elevator. The woman next to you looks over, says, "What's your passion?" You have 10 floors to answer. What do you say?
Well, listen, that's what I'm all about right now. I'm very excited about what we're doing with the re-release of the Celestine Prophecy. Now, think how much fun that is. I got a call from my publisher and she says, look, what are you doing with Saltstein right now? I said, well, I'm working on another book. I'm not doing anything with Saltstein. And she says, well, it's flying off the shelves again. And it's always been a perennial seller, right?
Wow.
But suddenly it's got this surge of being passed around again. And if you'll remember back in the day when it first came out, the book was a pass-along book, you know?
For sure.
The Saltstein Prophecy was my attempt to crystallize by talking about it in a novel, talking about the insights or consciousness that human culture was entering into. So it was my way of really trying to identify how the human race was changing, what was happening within consciousness, and from a sort of a spiritual psychology point of view. In other words, there's a way to tap into spiritual consciousness. And in my view, the human race at that point knew a whole lot about that. In other words, we are bringing in, thanks to the human potential movement, all this information about meditation and synchronicities and how to tune in, right? So the Saltstein Prophecy was about that.
Right.
And it's always been a pass-along book for years. And what happened was right now there's two new generations that are coming online in terms of consciousness, right? You have baby boomers, they're kind of retiring and, you know, and trying to figure out what they want to do the rest of their lives and how to create something that has a legacy feeling for them where they're leaving something for the world. But at the same time, you have the children of baby boomers who the millennials. And the millennials are now all bigger than baby boomers. It's talking about 60 million people in the United States alone, I think, qualify for this group. And
right.
They're all passing 37 to 41. And that's a big astrological time period because this is when, and regardless of what you think about astrology, you know, I would just say that I believe it works very well in some cases.
I do too. It's like, of course, it's all connected. We know the moon affects woman's, you know, cycle. It's like the tides. It's like everything affects Saturday everything else. So why not extend that out, you know, to bigger, you know, celestial objects? It just makes all the sense in the world to me.
There's a thing that happens with any generation. And it's when the bulk of the people reach this 38 to 42, and that is when Pluto in the sky is 90 degrees from where it was when you were born, relatively, for the whole generation. And what happens is that's when you ask the questions that you would ask at 38 to 42, which is, okay, you know, I got a job, I've done that thing, I've tried to master relationships and I've got kids maybe, and I'm sort of got that under control, but what do I really want to do with my life? And that big question is what millennials out there are asking all at the same time. What's in there more to life than this? And whenever that happens with a huge generation like that,
right,
it changes the zeitgeist. So suddenly we have this big surge in consciousness. And so when I started looking at all that, we really have the older children of millennials also in a place where they're asking the larger questions because they're looking, they're in the end of high school, looking right at college, coming at them going, what do I really want to do with my life? How do I get educated without, you know, coming away with a huge debt? You know, so they're asking all these questions. And again, baby boomers asking the same thing. What's my legacy going to be? And it's also, you know, the big,
right,
you know, the background noise about that is goodness, the world looks like it's gone a little crazy, right? The human world is all jacked up, and it's
right.
Really kind of politically, it's who can outlie the other side. You know, it's a mess.
For sure.
It's a mess. So,
right.
So against that, people all, you know, they naturally want to, what can we do to help the world evolve toward more consciousness? So in the middle of this, of course,
right.
Millennials are and all the others really are passing Celestine around. So my publisher says, well, you know, you should write something about it. You know, it's anything you want to add to Celestine, and we'll re-release it.
Mm.
So that's exactly what I did. I wrote
it's a great idea.
Afterward for the reader, and it's really about how to stay awake.
Mm.
Because everything, you know, culture is so materialistic now, so secular, you know, and how do you stay awake mm-hmm. when it's all about the entertainment, you know, and the routine
right.
of moving from one vacation to another, you know, it's how do you break through to something more? And so I wrote that.
Right.
And, so now we're out on the road. I'll be at on the 7th, which is coming up, February the 7th, 2020. I'll be at the Whole Life Expo, for instance, mm-hmm. doing a workshop around a discussion of the answer to those questions. What is it? What is the more we're looking for in life? And I believe, thanks to the human potential movement, you know, it's 100
right.
years old. It started with Carl Jung and the way he introduced spiritual consciousness to depth psychology. He was a disciple of Freud, broke away. And he set the first, he united seeking consciousness with also moving into a healthy psychology. So that was the beginning of the human potential movement. Now, what, you know, what else is there? How do we break through to the best life we can find? How do we follow our intuitions? You know, how do we keep this flow of synchronicity going in our lives? Because, you know, if synchronicity is real, and you've probably, you know, you've proved yourself that it's real. You know, we have these moments in life where it seems that fate is guiding us, right? I mean, we have these mysterious coincidences that bring us information
sure.
just when we were thinking about that kind of information. And it seems beyond chance, right? Now, mm-hmm. that is...
What's so great for me, sorry to interject,
sure.
but, you know, this show, there's been so much synchronicity shared between me and the listeners. And, you know, I think of my friend who always, like, jokingly will sing, like, Mr. Synchronicity when he sees me. And so it's funny because thinking back, literally, I learned about the phenomenon through the Celestine Prophecy, you know, circa 1995 or whatever. And so it's really, super cool to hear you and have you on, you know, talking about it.
Well, you know, synchronicities are, if they're real, it means that the world is not just material. In other words, if that mysterious coincidence, the hand of fate operates in our life to allow us to take a step in our destiny, then it means that the universe is set up for this kind of unfolding and destined calling to be answered that we find in our hearts.
You right.
know, we seek things. We get intuitions about what we really want to do in life. And then all of a sudden the universe starts to help us in that regard. And that's
right.
that's a wake-up call. If you stay awake to that process, then you're awake to
right.
the great mystery of life itself and how
right.
how we make a positive contribution in the world and actually engage in the evolution of human consciousness.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, for me, I believe it's, you know, it's one of those things. And if you notice, you start paying attention with synchronicity, you're when you're in that state of excitement and childlike wonder and belief and hope and, you know, all the good things, then they seem to unfold. And if you're in a state of stress or anxiety or, you know, negative mindset, they seem to dry up. And so I believe it's sort of like when you're in that state, you know, that childlike wonder state, you are tapped into source or higher self, you know, or what, the universe, whatever you want to call it. And that's when you are sort of moving into your best potential trajectory from that now moment forward. And therefore, you'll start seeing indicators or winks from the universe that, hey, you're on the right track. Follow these breadcrumbs, et cetera, et cetera.
And it's amazing how much we know about that process. You know, the self-esteem prophecy was, was my answer to, what has the human potential movement, that research, what has it concluded about this kind of life that you just described, this flow forward where we get the sense that it's our destiny, it's something, it's our calling that's being manifested. We're moving into our soul's work. Again, whatever you want to call it, it's the flow itself that's important. Right. And we know a lot about that. And what I do in my workshops now is really look at I've got four books in this series now, right? And they cover 12, what I call 12 mm-hmm. insights. And really, in this higher consciousness time, I believe we're taking these insights and making them abilities. So each of these become abilities that work, integrate together so that we stay in that flow most of the time. And how to, once we're knocked out of it and everybody gets knocked out of it, how we get back is the greatest revelation.
That's the key, right? Is understanding. Agreed. It's like, you know, it's two steps forward, one step back is sort of part of the flow. You know, our evolution is sort of like this spiral effect where we circle back on things we think we've worked through for further release and clarification and integration. And you're going to sort of have these ebbs and flows of being in that flow state and then getting sort of jarred out, and in understanding that that is a part of the dance. And then, of course, okay, I'm aware I'm sort of out of alignment. I've, you know, as Michael Singer talks about in his book, The Untethered Soul, I love how he puts it, is, you know, this, the heart, having the heart open is one of the keys and the primary key. And if your heart's closed, then you're sort of cutting off your access to chi or life force or source. And, you know, so you can always look at your thoughts and where you're vibrating at, you know, emotionally. And if your heart's closed, then you're cutting off. It's like no gas in the gas tank. You've just cut it off. And if your heart's opened, you can become, and you train yourself to leave it open, you become this fountain that overflows with this, you know, this life force energy. And that's where we really move into a place of power and understanding, not sort of being reactive beings, but proactively entering into situations saying, the only thing that's important here as I navigate my day or this moment or this challenge is that I leave my heart open, because that's where all my fuel and power comes from. And I really like that perspective. And, you know, it's been so long since I've read The Celestine Prophecy, and then the next book, the 10th Insight, and then you had the 12th Insight. And I'd love if we have time, you know, maybe you could touch on what those are, if that, you know, if you think that would be a good direction to take it.
Well, you know, I think we ought to just stick with for a minute how to get back mm-hmm. when you're knocked out of it. Okay, so we can
okay
you
know, we've fair enough.
You and I both described this flow that is possible for a human being to get in. Mm-hmm. What usually knocks us out? I think for most people, it's either a personal challenge, say, and that could be anything mm-hmm. from death to something happening with the family, to jobs that disappear right in front of your eyes, to those kinds of shocks, right? And plus another category, which is usually personal attacks. In other words, you know, one of the things that I stressed in the self-seeing prophecy is that we have to figure out how to stay out of power struggles. You know, these little subtle power struggles that where we feel attacked or undermined or somehow lowered in energy. And I think it's a lot of times it's the boss comes in and lays something on you, and you know, it's a little bit of domination coming from the boss. And so you feel lowered. And what you really want to do is just be defensive. Now, wait a minute. That's right. Not fair. You know, all the things you want to defend about what the boss or whoever it is saying. And I think that's the decision point, because when you get knocked, when you become defensive, that's just the light bulb should go off. Okay. I'm not connected anymore. Because you know,
right.
When you're defensive, you're trying to battle somebody from within the energy of that situation. You know, some person wants to be smarter, putting you down, you know, in these little games people play.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have to react to that because they succeed in lowering your energy, you can call it stealing energy, but we react to that. And we try to put the other person down and get some of that energy back. So then you're in a power struggle. When the real idea is what you said, the fast way back is you realize that that's an anxiety moment. So you're not, your heart isn't opened into a love connection. It's an anxiety moment. You feel lowered. You feel like you can't replenish this energy. You feel going toward the other person. So the idea is to remember what you do in meditation. And I teach it's a mindfulness meditation, but it's love based, so that the mantra is not counting your breaths or other things that are used in mindfulness meditation, but it's actually feeling the emotion of agape love. In other words, not a love for an object, but a love as a state, as an emotional state that I believe is our true emotional state. So, you know, it's coming back to that. And sometimes you have to retreat from those kinds of conversations, right? Like, look at the time, I got to go, see you later. Or rather than break it, there are ways to help the other person get out of it, you know, which would be to name the game. You know, you say, I'm feeling criticized right now, right? And that's a way to help the other person come back to authenticity, and you keep yourself there at the same time. But really, you want to just, you know, many times we want to just withdraw and come back to, you know, centeredness in our consciousness and into this true emotion, which is love, which is, like, as you say, is the connection for a higher self, you know, connection for, you know, the big mind you open up to. And that's where all the security is. That's all where all the intuitive intelligence is. And that's what you were really getting at. When you come back to that, you go start getting hunches that you follow, and that leads to even more synchronicity. So that's the link, you know, that's the connection that gives us all the rest of our intelligence. And that's when that creates hunches that we follow, which lead to synchronicities and other hunches to continue this unfolding of what you want to be and do. And it's just a flow of synchronicity, hunch, synchronicity, hunch, synchronicity. And once we pull all that into consciousness, then it's a kind of a integrated system that we can live in more and more.
And before we continue on, I'd like to take a quick moment to announce to you guys that we have a new sponsor of the Positive Head Podcast, Mack Weldon. As you guys know, I've been very selective about sponsors over the years, only working with a select few that I truly align with. So when Mack Weldon first reached out to me about sponsoring Positive Head, and I saw that they were claiming to make intelligently designed men's basics such as underwear, socks, t-shirts, sweatpants, made made from premium fabrics that are also super comfy. I was intrigued. The reason being is because the running joke in my family my whole life has been that you will never see me in anything that isn't super cozy, which, if you ask my mom, has led to many, many embarrassing fancy restaurant dinners with me wearing old sweatpants. So I was intrigued enough that I ordered 4 items to try them out. And when I received them, I knew I had instantly found a new favorite go-to for my basics. My mom is going to be ecstatic to hear their claim that their Ace sweatpants are a modern upgrade for your favorite sweatpants. It's a totally legitimate claim. They are definitely way more comfy and stylish than my old ones, and I've never looked better at dinner. I intend personally to order them in every color. And of course, since they are super high quality, they do cost a little more than your Walmart standard basics. However, luckily for all UP heads, they are giving all Positive Head listeners 20% off when you go to macweldon.com and use the code POSITIVEHEAD, all one word. That's spelled MACKWELDON.com. I highly recommend trying them out or ordering them for your partner or spouse. You have my 111% guarantee that your mother or mother-in-law will thank you profusely at the next family dinner. Right. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's certainly a lot of wisdom right there. And it's the greatest challenge, too, when you're in that, you know, for me, as someone who has, runs a lot of energy and I'm super passionate person. So if someone is, you know, coming at me cross or in some way that, you know, I have to constantly remind myself, it's like, oh, you know, this situation is happening to help me to sharpen my axe, if you will. You know, smooth seas never made for a skilled sailor. And so I'm being challenged by this moment because, you know, I need to really work on my reactivity. And so this person, it's not about whether you're right or wrong or any of that. It's how am I dealing with this challenge is really the question.
Right. And, you know, I could talk, you know, each of these, you know, when I say that we're moving from insight, you know, just feeling the energy of this flow, a book can do that. A talk by somebody can get you in that inspiration energy, but to sustain it personally, you know, we have to make this meditative, that part of ourselves that contemplates, is alone with ourselves, that meditates and finds that opening spot. That just has to be stronger and stronger. And if you meditate anytime at all, especially with this emotion-based meditation, what happens is that pretty soon you can walk around with it. So you're always tuned in to the next guiding intuition, and you're, you know, your ego is not leading the way. It's implementing the strategy around whatever hunch you're acting on. So that's a balance I think we're finding.
Yeah. It definitely is a dance, and you know, certainly a biggest challenge point for me. And I've gotten light years better.
Another important aspect, I think, that the human potential movement is bringing to bear right now. It's always studied meditation. You know, there's huge amounts of research in interactional psychology and all that. But the thing that I think is now coming to bear on the way we carry on our lives is the idea of karma. And I'm convinced that I do this in my workshop. I make karmic alignment a big deal because I do believe that we're clarifying how karma works in the world. And if you get in alignment with that design, what happens is that we become absolutely luckier. Things open up faster. We're rewarded with the energy of doing good in the world versus the opposite of that. And it's something everybody has to prove to one themselves. You know, I mean, it's something that I believe is very simple. I think it's ongoing. In other words, you reap karma that you sow every day of your life. It's not like you come back for another life and you have to suffer from the karma of your previous life. I mean, you know, it's immediately noticeable if you start to look at it. And I believe that the karmic design, I talked about this in the 12th insight, by the way, but it's the karmic design of this world revolves around giving. You can say loving or giving energy, but it's helping. Okay. It's the kind of giving that helps. So, you know, what the balance is, you know, we run around. Once we get in this flow, we're having these intuitions and we're sitting on the train or we're at a party we're going, okay, who's got a synchronicity for me today? You know, I want these questions answered.
Right.
And that's exciting. But what we have to balance it with is making sure that we're listening to our intuitive intelligence for a synchronicity, some information that we're here to give somebody else, right? So it's, in other words, and that's the posture of giving. What am I intuited to do to help someone? And if that is also a kind of you're alert to that as much as you're alert to a synchronicity that might happen, that is what karma is based on. If you find that spot, and listen, you know, 99% of the people are already helpful out there, right? I mean, of course, I spent a lot of time in the South. I've lived other places everywhere, but I have a, you can tell from
I'd have never guessed by your accent.
Yeah.
I'm from Virginia originally, so I know when I hear it.
Well, the thing about it is, you know, people are basically friendly. And some, you know, LA, yeah. I always laugh at LA and because everybody's kind of suspicious there, right? You're suspicious of everybody's face. Mm-hmm. But the thing about it is, other places, especially in rural areas and small towns, and you know, you really find very, very friendly and helping people. And I think it's
that way
everywhere. Everybody basically wants the best for themselves and for other people. They want the best for their children, for other people's children. You know, they want the world to work. But I think in so many places, I just start with this question, you know, does what goes around, does it come around? Because that's a very colloquial kind of expression, but you find it all over all over the world. People know that you know, people who do negative things find themselves, you know, it always comes around and they find themselves in a negative situation. So what I think we can prove to ourselves is if we practice consciously giving, and it's fun, you know, you're waiting for an intuitive idea of what it is you're supposed to say to somebody. And often if you get it and you say something out of the blue, change the subject, or I've had people do it back to me and say, you know, I don't know why I'm telling you this, but da-da-da-da-da-da. And it's exactly what I needed to hear. It was a big synchronicity for me, see? So we're wired to do
this. Right, right.
We're wired to do this. And once
it's all a feedback loop in some way, I say, you know, everything, it's like everywhere you go, you're there waiting for yourself. And it's all a feedback loop, you know, reflecting back you to you in some way, shape or form that is helpful in the moment is how I perceive it.
And here's how it amplifies.
And if you approach it, your life with that, and if you approach your life with that perspective, then you really are set up in a way to get the most out of it when these things are coming into your field and into your focus and in front of you, you know, not just thinking of it as this external thing that is, you know, random, rather, hold on, there's some way, something, you know, that's reflecting here that's useful for me.
Absolutely. And the reward for being a giver, so keeping it in mind and trying to help, the reward for that is that you attract more givers into your life. Okay? So
right.
Givers, people who give
reflections
are given to, right? Now, if you're a taker, if you're always trying to dominate people, sell them things they don't need, if you're manipulating for
yep.
status or, you know, to get more, you know, it, whatever. You're, if you're not honest, you're leading people astray because it makes you feel good to be powerful. All that, that's taking. That's not uplifting and helping people with their life. It's slowing other people's lives down, misleading them. That's why politicians have such
right.
horrible karma. I mean, everything happens to them.
Right.
And because you know, you have to be genuine with this. But if you're a taker, it doesn't take you very long to see that you start to draw into your life other takers. And they absolutely, I mean, it's very, they make you, they show you how it feels to be taken from. Very, I've seen it.
Right.
I've seen people draw these takers in that, you know, I've known my share of swindlers. I mean, outright con men in my life. And
me too.
And undoubtedly, they'll draw just the same kind of con man or woman into their life, you know. So it's not really meant to be a punishment. It's set up to be a wake up call. You see the damage you're doing. You see the
right.
harm you're doing by taking. So that's, in my view, this is a huge revelation for the human race. Be a conscious taker, and you will be. Your life will start to go better and better, and especially if you do what I call tithe. I'm not talking about really religious tithing. I'm talking about giving money. I mean, just give, take a percentage. Maybe it's 0.5%, or maybe it's 1%. Whatever you want to start with. But if you will take that money out, okay, it's not my money. It belongs to people I'm going to be helping, and you just wait for
right.
you know, the situation to appear where you find out somebody needs help. And it's amazingly gratifying. I mean, I've had this, you know, I have money, you know, I've got this specific amount of money. Sometimes I just put cash in my pocket
mm-hmm.
and walk around with it, just waiting for the intuition. I've had people drive up with an old clunker car, you know, that just wouldn't even run, and it's smoking, and it blows up and stops right in front of me, right? So
right.
I help with the car, you know? And it's a practice that brings on more synchronicities like this. So you realize we're in a kind of karmically dynamic world once we get the hang of how
mm-hmm.
it works. And the reason that you don't talk to people every day that are talking about you like you and I are, is that the human race has really not tried to have good karma. They've never thought, and it's worse out there. There's more materialism and unconsciousness going on. And I'd say it's worse. It's still out there, and it's seeking more power over
right.
everybody because it realizes it's losing power. The whole dark side of this, the whole ego dominant materialistic economic world is sort of losing its grasp, you know. They can't convince themselves any longer that they're not really screwing people, you know. and it's all falling apart because
right.
it's being replaced by this consciousness, this swelling of consciousness that's happening in the world.
Right. Right. Yeah. You know what, how I view this whole thing is I love the, and listeners, longtime listeners probably can even predict what I'm going to say right now, because I repeat myself a lot with some of these principles and perspectives. And, you know, one of the things that I always reference is the quote by Gandhi. He said, if you want to find yourself, lose yourself in the service of others. And the reason I believe that that quote is so powerful and true is I like to add to it. The reason it holds true is because there are no others. Everywhere you go, you're there waiting for yourself. So if you want to, you know, whatever you want for yourself, I believe the universe provides some sort of way for you to give it away in some way, shape, or form, symbolically, what have you, to another. And I always say, do it, do it, do it, because there are no others. So this is how we actually create abundance and, you know, success and all these things. It comes through the avenue of giving. You're going to find, you know, different and unique ways that obviously, you know, you want to check in with yourself and make sure, okay, this feels right in this case to give. Maybe it doesn't feel right if you know the person's about to take that money and run and buy, you know, methamphetamine or something crazy. But checking in with yourself in those moments and your intuition and when it's appropriate to give of yourself, and certainly be aware when you see it somehow as symbolic of what it is you want for yourself. And I believe this is how we actually, you know, create what we want for ourselves, because, you know, what I'm giving away, I'm going to feel the energetic repercussions of that if it truly is just an extension of me that I'm giving it to, right? So it's that karmic loop you're talking about. So this is sort of how I paint the picture myself and why it makes so much sense to me.
And it's, yeah, you're saying the same thing I'm saying. And, Gandhi said, lose yourself in the giving to others. Well, that's a good expression, because you sort of focus on that, but you're really not losing yourself. It's the greatest elevation of consciousness.
It's finding in a sense.
Right. It's finding and even.
He said elevating. Find and then lose. Yeah. He just was doing a play on words, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's elevating, you know, it's the highest consciousness you can, because, you know, it's like tithing, you know, I mentioned that. You know, if you give money away, you'll get money. I mean, it's built into the
yep.
system of the universe. You know, it's in the Bible. Yeah, it's in every religion. But it's also built into the dynamic of the world. So as soon as you become a giver and you make that also with money, because it's so much fun, you can't outgive that.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, now you know, you shouldn't give away 50% of your budget so you don't have enough food to eat that month. But, you know, that's not right, because, you know, you're harming yourself. See, that's bad karma. So you have to keep the balance.
Right.
But you take some of the excess and you start to give it away, it returns. And I've known a lot of people in workshops where I keep up with these people and what happens to them. No one that I've ever seen who decided to start giving away a percentage of their income ever failed to increase their income over time. It just works.
Yeah.
And it's not
fascinating.
Telling you to give it to the church next door. I'm telling you to give it where you're intuitively
right.
led to give it. It might be the church next
yep,
door. Yep,
exactly.
But, yeah, I'm not raising right. money for anything. I'm just telling you really what my observance has been in the matter. And I think anybody who tries it can prove it to themselves that it's, you know, there's an abundance that comes from giving. And it's not just money. It's luck. It's good luck. Because I've proved that to myself. And I'm married to a woman who never goes anywhere and I kid you not, that she doesn't park directly in front of the door of the place. We just got back from Colorado, and we're going to the airport, but we want to stop and get breakfast first. And of course, this was a local place we heard about. So here we go, and there's not a parking place. This place is packed. I mean, not a parking place anywhere. And I'd pull in and we go in front of the door. Up, backup lights happen. Car right in front of the door backs up right in front of us, takes off. Now, I'm just telling you, this is metaphysical. You know, this is not just a set of principles that pay off. This is something you can prove to yourself.
Oh, yeah. It's like clockwork. I mean, you know, a great example that comes to mind for me here, James, for the last 6 months or so, I've been working on a new show, late night style talk show, video production called Optimistic. And part of it is the listeners of this show get to come spend a week here at this epic spaceship-esque property called the Mystic Manor, where I live. And, we have a bunch of the rooms or retreat, set up just for the retreat guests. And so over the last 6 months, we've been hosting retreats most weeks. We'll do like 3 weeks on, one off, that kind of thing. And if I had a nickel for every time, I talked to someone about coming, they really want to come, they're really feeling the call. It's, even though we've done all we can to keep the cost as low as possible, it's not, it's not like going down the street and buying, a candy bar. It's cost to take a week vacation and, it's full retreat and meals included and staying here in Venice, California, where, it's pretty, pretty pricey. And anyway, so if I had a nickel for every time someone said, okay, Brandon, I'm going to do this, I'm taking this leap of faith, it feels energetically aligned. I know it's going to a good cause. It's helping to spread Optimistic into the world. And it's also helping to up-level my own consciousness by having this transformational, immersion week with you and the rest of the team there. I'm going to do it. And then when they get here, or even a few days later, oh my gosh, you're not going to believe it. I just got, money out of left field that I didn't count on. I just got a new job that increased my salary. It's happened at least, I don't know, I've probably heard at least 20 some times in 6 months where, gosh, I was so close to not doing it because of the financial aspect of it. And then I did. And then this thing happened that helped me financially. And, I call it the good kind of selfish. It's like knowing when you're aligning with something that's good for you, good for the people it's impacting, the ROI instead of return on investment, the ripple of impact, right, is good. Then you know that you're going it's going to work out for you in a good way. And I've seen it. It's been cool for me because I've got to not only apply it to myself with this whole venture, because I had a very comfortable situation before this and I stretched myself to the max and still am to pull it all off financially and otherwise. And it was that leap of faith saying, okay, I know it's aligned energetically. I know the universe wants to support it. I know I'll get what I need. Even though I can't see from A to Z, I can see my next step, A to B and B to C, and I'm going to just keep on. And it's been really, really rewarding for me to see that happened time and time and time again. And by the way, if you guys are interested in that, you can go to optimistic.tv and you can see videos on the retreats and contact us to talk about coming. But that's an example that's been front and center in my own life, for the last 6 months.
Well, that's great. That's a great story. There's a providing element to the design of the universe. And once you shake off this material delusion, that there's, life is just life and then you die, right? It's all these crazy ideas, and you think that you're all alone in the world, and none of that's true. None of that's true. And the wake up, the wake up that begins that any of us can have is just setting an intention to find out the truth. What's next for me? Is it the world? Is there just something else I'm so supposed to be doing in the world? And you say, that's a prayer. That's a intention. It's a holographic universe, and that moves the universe into a reply, into an answer. And it, it, It always happens.
Right.
It always, something will happen.
Right. Well, you know, as we sort of start winding down here, I know you're on a little bit of a time crunch today, but one of the things, you know, I think instantly comes to mind, and the listeners know, I always ask for a story of synchronicity or serendipity or a positive paranormal story. And who better to ask that to than the one who actually introduced me to the concept, 25 years? Right. Yeah. 25 years ago. Where has time gone? I think it was 95, probably, I read Celestine Prophecy. So, wow. So, yeah, James, I would love to hear a story, because if anyone's, you know, as I said, my friend calls me Mr. Synchronicity. I'm calling you Mr. Synchronicity. Yeah. So no pressure, but you better have something good.
Well, you know, it was Dr. Carl Jung, you know, the depth psychologist that
coined it.
That I mentioned earlier, protege of Freud, his work, he developed his own theories. And they included karma in a lot of things, but he coined the word synchronicity. Mm-hmm. And so reading him back in the
meaningful coincidence, he called it,
really made me understand that that's a principle in the universe, and it's there for us to prove it to ourselves that it leads us. And you know, I knew that, and I was, you know, I realized that I wanted to. I wanted to write something. I was actually a psychotherapist working with challenged teenagers, most of them adjudicated, you know, and locked up. And it was a big, those kids with no education, you know, a lot of the time, could understand how to move into a synchronistic life. And I figured, okay, these kids can do that with all the traumas that they've had. They can move past it. So that's when I realized I wanted to write Celestine Prophecy. I tried to do it as a kind of academic book, and then I realized it was boring me to tears just trying to write it. So I knew that it needed to be a novel. So Celestine Prophecy is a novel. It's an adventure story that you step into. And follow along in the action of the novel. And so I wrote and wrote and wrote, and I actually even tested on some people and got some good feedback. You know, the people wanted a second copy to give to a friend. That's what you want to hear, right? But I had I wanted to get it published. Okay. So I sent it everywhere, right? And I had a few small publishers that wanted to publish it, but I didn't. They all each of them said, it's going to take 2 years to get it in the bookstores. You just get in the pipeline, right? And we'll put you in there, and 2 years from now, it'll be in the bookstores. And I said, you know, I thought, wait, and you know, it was a decent advances and stuff. So, but I really had to kind of bite the bullet and say, well, this is what I felt intuitively. It's too timely for that. Too timely. I can't wait 2 years.
Right.
So in a time where self-publishing was really non-existent, you know, there was one book on the subject where you just create your own small book company. And you get it out there just like any other small company would do it. So I got some guidance from that. But I realized that I needed help if this was going to happen. So that's what I held a vision for. I held it, set an intention. You know, I've got to have somebody. And I was talking to a friend of mine. Actually, she just kind of dawned on me to call her. She's a publicist. Called her, and we were talking about just generally things about books, but she just out of the blue said, you know, you probably ought to meet a friend of mine who just came into town. He used to work for a big publisher, and now he's opening up a bookstore, but he wants to develop a mechanism for helping people publish their own books. That literally. And I went, what? I said, yeah, I want to meet him. Went over, talked to him. He had everything. He had a, there were no programs for typesetting a book outside of, professional companies. But he had one. So he could typeset the book. He could design it. He could do the cover. And he could just do all that for me. And, all I had to do then was raise the money to order the first order of books. But that was the big synchronicity that sent me on my way. And we did exactly that.
Wow.
We got the books out. In fact, in the since it's about synchronicity, the only thing we did was we drove around all over the United States. I bet we went to 30 cities, all the way to the West Coast.
Wow.
To Sacramento, all the way to Boston, back down all the way to Miami. And what the plan was, there were a lot of mom and pop kind of bookstores back then. So we would visit those four or five in each city. And the plan was, okay, the book's about synchronicity, right? So we gave a book to the buyer or the owner, whoever orders books, and said, read this and see if you want to carry it in your bookstore. And we figured whoever happened to be in the bookstore when we walked in, they also got a free book. So we probably gave away 1,700 books, a whole trunk load of
of
books like that. And then, like I said, it was just naturally because I think the time was right. Everybody was seeking this kind of information, and they sensed it coming. And so they started passing the book around to other friends and all that kind of stuff. And it went from there. We finally turned it over to a New York publisher who had called us actually and said, sorry, we didn't return your calls last time, but we're interested in publishing being your publisher, so let us take over. We finally selected one, and the book went out somewhere around the late 90s. It was actually the best-selling book in the world. I mean, it was just went viral
before social media went viral, huh?
That's right. So it was a magical time. It's now, interestingly, it's now when the baby boomers and at this moment, baby boomers were moving from 38 to about 45, the big mass of them, and now it's so much fun to get it back out with a new generation, a couple of new generations who are already exploring and thinking about, how they elevate their consciousness and really do what they want to do in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say it's the world is even more ripe now than it ever's been. Back then when I read that book, I was just having having my own sort of awakening. And I just went on to be so jazzed up about the ultimate nature of reality and spirituality and exploring these subjects. And for a long time, it was sort of like, oh, that's interesting, dude. And you're crazy, or that's interesting. And they go about their daily life. Now it seems the world is really open and ready to receive. So I think the Celestine prophecy is even more ripe for the world now than it was then. And obviously it was a good timing then based off what happened. I mean, that is an incredible, what I love about your story is it's literally synchronicity led to this book that kind of help to educate the world. Obviously Carl Jung did it in a different way. You've done it in this epic adventure story that's based off of, principles that I imagine you all believe, you know, are based, you know, all based off of sort of real phenomenon as far as energy goes and synchronicity goes and et cetera. So, yeah, I just think that's a beautiful, beautiful story of, you know, synchronicity leading to the book on synchronicity kind of getting out there. And how many, do you know the count of how many copies have been sold to date?
Well, we don't know because, I mean, we know it's in the millions, and, but it's, you know, it's a pass along book, which means, they don't just stay with one. And so it's read, yeah, multiple people read every copy, is why I think it's going on out there. And it's, you know, there are copies everywhere. Of course, I'm pushing this new copy, not because, for commercial reasons, but the new edition has this afterword, which I think is good for younger people. You know, if you know a college student that's going off to college, or if you, you know, people who are at crossroads of any kind, you know, I think the afterword helps them stay awake. But you can get one for $1.75 at the used bookstore, right? So we have kind of a campaign going of,
right,
you know, start, you know, you know, there's probably a million people in the United States right now who have two or three copies in their, on their bookshelves. And I'm trying to get the word out to give those books away, right, you know, don't let them sit there. Get them out there.
Yes.
And let's see if we can multiply that, the, you know, this opening to, you know, true consciousness and more of a giving spirit in the world. And I think that will solve a lot of what's going on in terms of personal alienation that's happening out there and all this conflict about ideological issues.
I agree. Wow. Well, this has been absolutely epic, James. Such an honor to have you on. For those who want to continue to, you know, follow your adventure and future books and all the magic you're up to in the world, what's the best way for them to connect with you?
Well, CelestineVision.com is our website. So you can find everything, the events, the initiatives. You know, we're building a community. We want a mentoring system for people that need, you know, to need people to talk to about this subject. Maybe there's somewhere where there's not that many people to talk about it. So we're going to have a mentoring system for people. And, you know, I'm on this tour.
Great.
Celestine Prophecy Inspiration Tour. And I'll, you know, again, I'll be at the 2020 Conscious Life Expo in LA. So look to see some people. If they're really interested in a workshop or
anything. Yeah, I'm going to probably stop by.
Oh, please do. Please do. That'd be great.
So I'll come see you.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to meet you, Brandon.
Excellent. Yeah, excellent. Well, this has been epic. As I mentioned, I do have one last question to leave you with. And the question is this. In 60 seconds or less, what is the meaning of life according to James Redfield?
Well, life is a journey. It's an adventure. We can't understand the great breadth of you know, the spiritual dimensions of this life. We find ourselves in life as a journey. And what we do know is that if we open up to our inner intelligence, you know, this intuitive intelligence, what happens is that we can get into a flow where our soul's wishes, our soul's vision of what our lives can be will come to us. And then if we do the other things, if we're givers and really want to help this world evolve in a positive direction, all that will happen. is if we allow ourselves to be guided intuitively.
Hmm. Love that. Thank you so much, my friend, for coming on and sharing. It has been an adventure worthy of the Celestine Prophecy, and I look forward to hopefully bumping into you at the Conscious Life Expo this coming weekend.
Good.
And yeah, otherwise,
well, thank you.
I keep up the amazing work. Yeah.
Well, thank you for spreading around all this energy. You know, I wasn't aware of your show, but I'm certainly aware of it now. So I'll be a fan.
Yeah. Oh, well, I appreciate you co-creating magic with me, and all of you out there listening, thank you so much for tuning in and co-creating it with us as well, because it would not be the same without you listening. It'd be a two-way conversation. So thank you all so, so much. Until next time, journey well.
And if you're feeling the call to come for a week retreat style mystic manor immersion, remember to go now and book your time to speak with me directly about stepping into the optimistic vortex at calendly.com/talkwithbrandon while there are still spots left. Otherwise, I look forward to co-creating magic with you at the Mystic Manor.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
That doesn't sound good.
Paper shredder's jammed, but I think I fixed it.
Oh, well, try shredding these $50 bills then.
Seems like it's working.
Better try another $400.
Instead of using money, use regular paper. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.